And good morning, UK and everyone else across the world. This is Tom Harris in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. Welcome to Tom Harris Live, where we are going to talk today about jobs, and I'll get to that in just a second. But hey, it's a beautiful day here. It is absolutely fantastic out. Yeah, I just poked my head out the door a little bit earlier just to see what was going on outside, and it is gorgeous out there. I just can't wait to get outside after the show. I was talking with Mikey actually a little bit last night, and talking about how you know, it's normal to want to go outside, and today is one of those days. It's just absolutely brilliant outside. Anyway, I would love to hear from people today. I'd like to get some calls, because we're going to talk today about jobs. And it's a little bit more lighthearted show than last week, folks. I got a little heavy the last couple of weeks, and there's nothing wrong with that. I don't mind doing those sort of heavier shows. But I want to talk a little bit about jobs. I want to talk about your favorite job, maybe your first job. Did you have a paper route or something like that? Your ideal job, some sort of your dream job, I guess, is sort of the what I'm going for here. Or, you know, what sort of the, you know, are you looking for career-wise? You know, if you've never worked, I mean, I'd like to hear about that too. And of course, you can contact the show. Excuse me, folks. You can contact the show by telephone if you're in the UK. It's 020-0387-1488, which is a local London number. There's not a premium rate number. And indeed, if you are listening online on Skype, you can Skype in at United Kingdom Radio. I see that we have a lot of people logged into Skype, so hello, everybody. It's kind of been a while since we've had a proper call into this program. It does just seems to be things have been quiet on the phone. Not that there's anything wrong with that, of course. But anyway, before we start talking about jobs, I'm going to do some of our features here. And, of course, if people want to call in, they're welcome to, and I'll put you on hold while we do the features. But first thing I'm going to do today is Today in History. Oh, this is Oscar's favorite part of the show. And by the way, if you're listening live, it will be 10:04 a.m. Central Time, which would be 4:04 p.m. over in the UK, on September 25th, I believe it is the 25th today. And if you are listening at that time, then you are listening live. If you're listening at any other time, then you're listening to a pre-recorded program. All right. So, today in history, in 1639, the first printing press in America started operation. That's very interesting. And people don't realize that back, you know, American history didn't start in 1776. And, you know, indeed, there were people living here other than, you know, I'm not even talking about the natives who were here, you know, thousands of years before. There were Europeans here in what's now America a very, very long time ago. And, of course, the big wave of immigration started in 1620. So, you know, over 150 years before there was such thing as the United States. In speaking of United States, in 1780, Benedict Arnold joined the British Army. Boo, hiss. You know, it's funny because this is a UK radio station, obviously. And Benedict Arnold is thought of in America as a traitor. It's right, sort of the stereotypical traitor, because he worked for the Americans and then he switched sides and started working for the British. And so we're taught in school here, at least we were. I don't know if they're teaching about Benedict Arnold anymore, because he's kind of an inconsequential character. He really didn't do anything. Anyway, in 1840, Congress, excuse me a moment. Okay, sorry about that. Sometimes I get distracted. In 1890, Congress enacted the Yosemite National Park out in California. Still one of our very popular national parks out there. In 1897, the first British bus service went into operation. In 1926, Henry Ford enacted the 8-hour, 5-day work week. Now, that was quite an achievement back then. I mean, you know, before that, people would just work for, you know, 14-hour days, 7 days a week. I mean, this was really kind of the first industrialist who actually started to think about the workers in that kind of way. In 1956, the first transatlantic phone call was made between Oban in Scotland and Newfoundland, Canada. It was the first transatlantic phone call, so that's pretty exciting. I can't believe it was as late as 1956 because they had telegraph cables before that. Going across the Atlantic, so that's interesting. In 1960, Chubby Checker's song "The Twist" was number one here in the U.S. And in 1965, a new cartoon show premiered on television of the Beatles. The Beatles cartoon. You can still see a few of those on YouTube. I think they were showing that on VH1 or MTV or something a few years ago. But kind of a very silly cartoon, and the Beatles had nothing to do with it. They were voiced by other people, but it was interesting anyway. A lot of good Beatles music, of course, in the context of the cartoon. And I'm a great admirer of the Beatles, and I know that it's kind of popular now among younger people to kind of, you know, poo-poo the Beatles, but they were really, you know, the most influential band of the early 60s, and they really, the Beatles and others of that same era really changed music forever. So I do think that you can't underestimate their importance in the musical history, at least pop music history in the world. And in 1981, Sandra Day O'Connor became the first female Supreme Court justice here in the States. It seems like the news is today in history is a little bit U.S.-centric today. Oh, sorry about that. I do try to pick out, you know, stuff for the U.K. as well, because this being a U.K. radio station, don't know. And there are a bunch of birthdays today. This is one of the biggest days for birthdays that I've had since I started doing this show. And so born on this day throughout history, we had in 1897, Otto von Bismarck, the famous German general. Also in 1897, William Faulkner, the author. In 1906, Dmitri Shostakovich, the composer, Russian. I was looking on the Wikipedia page because I was trying to remember what he was famous for. And I didn't realize he's considered a Soviet composer. One of very few, I think, that are actually considered that. 1931, Barbara Walters, the American journalist who, I think she's on The View now. She's got to be getting up there. 1931, so she should be 79 this year? Yeah. In 1951... Luke Skywalker himself, Mark Hamill, was born. I didn't think he was quite that old. I don't know. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Because, you know, Star Wars came out in 1978, so he would have been, you know, 27 when that was filmed. In 1952, Christopher Reeve, the late Christopher Reeve, who was Superman, was born. In 1968, actor Will Smith, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air himself. And of course, now he's got his kids out there doing movies. His son Jaden, I believe is his name, has done the new Karate Kid film. And in 1969, Catherine Zeta-Jones was born. So that was today in history, and that is that for today. So if anybody would like to call in, Skype in, they talk about jobs, I'd love to hear from you. It's been a long time since anybody has actually called in. I'm feeling lonely. So after the show today, it's going to be, I don't know exactly how things are going to go. We've been doing a lot of geocaching. I've talked about that on my pre-recorded show, and also I think I've probably mentioned it here. And I think that we might go out today, Pete and I, hopefully, and maybe run some errands. I know I have some shopping to do and kind of run around and maybe do some geocaching as well, because it's such a gorgeous day for it. It's just one of those days when you want to be outside. It's funny how that is. You know, I just can't wait to get done with this and get outside. Anyway, so let's talk about jobs a little bit. And if anybody would like to chime in, they should feel free to do so. Once again, the phone number, if you're in the UK, is 020-0387-1488. And, of course, you can Skype in at United Kingdom Radio and talk about jobs. Now, my very first job, I had my very first job was picking up coconuts and palm fronds off the ground. Seems like a very strange first job, but at the time when I had my first job, I was 13 years old, and I was kind of working for $2.50 an hour, which was that was minimum wage back then, and it was kind of, I think this was sort of a, you know, surreptitious employment. I worked for a place called Casa Ybel Resort, and being in Southwest Florida, of course, you have a lot of palm trees, and when you have windy days, you know, the palm fronds get broken off, blown to the ground, and so you have to go around and pick them up. And that was sort of my job. I would drive around in a golf cart, usually with another kid, Mark, who was it's a friend of mine from school. We would drive around in a golf cart, and then we would pick up whatever rubbish on the ground, you know, the palm fronds, any kind of loose debris that'd be blowing around, and they didn't want any of the people who were staying at the resort to encounter a coconut in the wild. I wonder if coconut in the wilds are dangerous. I don't think they are. So that was my first job, and I didn't hold it for very long, and I had it for, I think it was the better part of a summer. And then at one point, I needed to leave town. I needed to go visit with my father over on the east coast of Florida. And at that point, they said, well, okay, yeah, you can go and visit your dad, but you know, that today's your last day. Basically, they, you know, if you can't come in, then we're not going to keep you on. So basically, they let me go when I needed to go out of town. So that was kind of sucky. But when you're working under the table, that is sort of the thing that that happens. Now, I did work before that, but I wouldn't really consider what I was doing before that a job. I was doing volunteer work in a library, and I started working actually at age 12. I was doing volunteer work at a library in Cleveland Heights, and they wanted me to work in the children's section. I never really liked that. I never liked the idea that you segregate the library in that way, and they didn't even want kids under a certain age to go into the adult section at all. And I kind of understand why that is. You know, libraries are supposed to be quiet, supposed to be a place for people to read and be able to concentrate on things. And of course, if you have a lot of kids running around, then that would kind of, you know, break up the peace of the library. But I was one of those kids who I got bored in the children's section. And I wanted to read adult books, so I would quite often be found in the adult section. But when I was volunteering there, of course, they kept me in the kids section. I would reshelve books, and that was what I did. And I did a little bit of that later, a couple years later, when I was in Florida. I worked at the Cape Coral Library in Cape Coral, Florida, town that I lived in for about a year when I was 12, 13 years old, and then moved back there later. Moved back there after I left home when I was 17, 18 years old, and lived there again for a while. Anyway, I'm getting way off the subject of jobs now, but if anybody had a, you know, similar sort of work experience or, you know, that sort of thing, then feel free to call in and Skype in at United Kingdom Radio. Wayne is saying, more people die from coconuts falling than shark attacks. Yeah, that's absolutely true. I think there's a lot more coconuts out there than there are sharks. But it's true. And after, you know, we had rainstorms every afternoon in the summer down in Florida. Sorry, folks, I'm very sinusy today. And it always seems to come out during the show for some reason. Sorry about that. It's just revolting. Anyway, Yeah. So we'd have these rainstorms every afternoon. I know that Chris talks about them on his show sometimes. When he was in Florida, he was there during the rainy season, and they have, you know, these thunderstorms every afternoon about 4:30. And you get the, you know, the coconuts and palm fronds falling all over the place. And I can imagine people, you know, it's raining, so they're hiding under the trees, you know, which is kind of a bad idea, really. And the coconuts have fallen, hit them on the head, and then, you know, that's the end of them. Anyway, yeah, coconuts are a massive thing. You know, people, you know, you go into the supermarket and go into the produce section of the supermarket in a lot of places in the world, and you'll find coconuts for sale, but they're de-husked coconuts. So they'll be, you know, maybe 8 inches in diameter at the biggest, and they kind of have this hard shell, and then you break it open and you get the meat out of it, and the, of course, coconut milk if there's any inside there. But coconuts in the wild are actually huge. They're bigger than a bowling ball. And the outer husk of this thing is quite thick, and it's this very fibrous material that it's kind of this green color, and it has a kind of a hard outside, but if you kind of try to cut through the husk, you'll find it's all fibrous inside there. And living in Florida, I hadn't thought about this for a long time, but living in Florida, we would occasionally open coconuts and eat them. It's a lot of hard work, though, to do that, because they're not really made to be easy to open. I guess it would be coconuts with a pull tab would be off. That'd be kind of interesting. But what you have to do is you have to find a coconut that's dry. And the husk outside has been allowed to dry. And usually what will happen is they'll fall in water. And they'll float around in the water for a while. And then they'll wash up on the shore or whatever. And there's nothing wrong with the inside of the coconut. It's just the outside has gotten wet and soggy and then has dried out. And it gets a little bit brittle. So you go and you get a hatchet. Like a little hatchet that you would use to chop kindling with. And you use the hatchet to remove the outer husk. And it's hard to do that without cracking the nut inside. But it can be done with a little bit of care. And we used to do that when I was a teenager. We would find a likely coconut. And you shake it. You actually shake it to hear if there's any liquid inside. Because if there's not any liquid inside, that means that the inside is rotten. And you shouldn't waste your time with it. So we would find coconuts on the ground, and maybe it'll look nice and dry, and we cut it open with a hatchet, and it's quite good actually, and you get the meat out, and it's nothing quite like fresh coconut. If you like coconut, I know a lot of people out there don't like coconut. I didn't like coconut when I was a little kid, and then as a teenager, when I was able to get fresh coconut, I really started to like it a lot more. Anyhow, getting way off the subject of jobs here. And we haven't had anyone call yet, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play Judge for Yourself. Now, this is the last Judge for Yourself. I don't have any more of these. And if people don't want to play this week, then I probably will not get any more. Because we have to keep things moving on the show. You know, we have to try different features, and if people don't like it, then, whatever. We just don't know. Anyway, here is Judge for Yourself for this week. And if you have any thoughts on this, please feel free to call in.
Judge for Yourself. This is the case of the abandoned cab. A mother jumped into a cab, held a gun to the driver's head, and demanded help escaping. The driver drove only a few minutes before, throwing the car out of gear and jumping out. He ran away unharmed, and the criminal was later caught. However, the cab had run onto the sidewalk and hit a woman and her two children. No one was seriously injured, but the woman sued the driver for negligence in abandoning his cab. Did the Florida District Court of Appeals rule for or against the woman?
All right, so that was Judge for Yourself for this week. If anybody has any thoughts on the case, they can feel free to either message in on the Skype, or they can call into the show. Now I'm going to take a little bit of a break here, going to play a couple of trails for you, and I'll be right back.
Hello, join me, Sean Richards, on United Kingdom Radio. I'll have some weird and wonderful chit-chat jokes, funny facts, phone calls and Skype calls, and if you're all good, a competition. No prizes, it's just all fun. So come and join me on United Kingdom Radio every Saturday between 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. See you soon.
Hello, join me, Lee Mills, every Monday and Wednesday here on United Kingdom Radio. We'll be talking about the best topics around, such as today's birthdays and what happened on this day many years ago. So that's Mondays at 8 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Do join us and don't forget. And if you do forget and you miss out, then you can catch up on the podcasts. We'll see you soon.
And there are a couple presenters here. Now, that was Sean Riches first, who will be joining us after 5 here on United Kingdom Radio, the Sean Riches Show. And he has a new format this week and new features, and he's going to be trying some new stuff. So everybody tune in and listen to Sean here. He'd be following me in about 35 minutes here on United Kingdom Radio. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit more about jobs here. Now, I've often thought, now I actually have one of the favorite jobs that I've ever had, and I've had a lot of jobs over the years. When I was a teenager, of course, I talked about picking up the coconuts and the palm fronds and that. And then for a couple of years, I worked in a restaurant, started out there as a busboy, and then moved into the kitchen, did dishwashing, and then did morning prep stuff. I would come in at 5 o'clock in the morning and start preparing for the lunch. And was doing a lot of stuff in the restaurant business. And then I kind of left that and went off into printing. And that was sort of an accident. I didn't really intend to make a career out of printing. But it turned into a career. And consequently, I was in the printing business for a very long time. Something on the order of about 14 years that I was working. Because I started part-time when I was in high school doing work at a print shop. And then after graduating from high school, it was the sort of the first place I started looking. And about 83, I'd been working for a drugstore, but I wanted something a little better. So I decided to go back into printing again. And actually started in 83. And I was doing other stuff, too. I was working, like, at one point, three part-time jobs. And I would work in the print shop from 8 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. And then I would go work in the comic store. I managed a comic store. And this would have been also in Florida, Fort Myers, Florida. And I would work there from 4 to 7 when the store closed. And then I would go to my third job, which was working in a convenience store. And I would do that a couple hours a night. It was not I would stock the cooler. So it wasn't a job that took all night to do. I would just go in there and restock the coolers, and that was kind of it. And so anyway, that was sort of that. And then my favorite job was I was working in a bookstore. And this was after moving to Chicago. And it was a fun job. It was a lot of fun. The pay was absolute rubbish. I mean, it was terrible pay. But it was a very flexible schedule. I worked a 40-hour week, and I worked 4 10-hour days. And I love that schedule because that gives you 3 days a week off. And I really kind of wish that I could do that at my current job because I really enjoyed having that extra day off. And I don't mind working a 10-hour day as long as I know I'm going to have that. So that, and I also had the advantage of one of my days off. Actually, usually two of my days off were during the week, and I would actually work one of the weekend days, and that's fine with me, too, because it's really no different. And I would actually be able to do and run errands and go get, if I had to have my driver's license renewed or something like that, I could do that on a weekday. And, of course, that's a lot easier. There's not as many people out who are doing these sort of things on weekdays. So I really enjoyed that. But I really liked the job itself. And the job itself was working at a bookstore called The Savvy Traveler that was really kind of more than just a bookstore. It was a travel store. And I did a lot of travel consulting and, help people find the books and maps and accessories and things that they needed. And I think the business is still there. The store itself closed down. They lost their lease and decided they didn't want to move the store. But you can still go to SavvyTraveler.com. I'm sorry, it's thesavvytraveler.com. And that's Traveler spelled with two L's. And they still do some business online. It's still the same owners, but it's just kind of the two of them working out of their living room now. But when they actually had the physical store, I thought that was a lot of fun. And I've done a lot of travel. And indeed, I have talked about that on the show. I've done, you know, the various Tom's Travel segments. I'm going to have another one next week, folks. I'm going to be talking about Canada. I'll be talking about Canada next week. Not quite ready to do it this week. But the that was a fun job. I mean, even though the pay was lousy, but you know, the hours were good. I liked the job. I liked the people. And I actually, you know, because of that job, got started doing bookkeeping. And that's kind of what I do now, working in the financial services as a bookkeeper, doing, you know, accounts payable, accounts receivable, working with cash, all that sort of stuff. And that has proven to be a better, I think, a better career move for me. But I think my ideal job, though, and I think it would be travel related, because I think my ideal job would be to be able to travel, you know, around the world or whatever and get paid for it. And I don't mind, you know, if I would have to write articles or make videos or do podcasts about, you know, if somebody would pay me to do that, to travel and to write about it or talk about it, I would love that. That would sort of be my ideal job. And would love to hear from people out there what theirs would be, whether that would be the sort of thing they'd enjoy. You know, what would be your ideal job? And that's one of the things that I would like to talk about. If anyone wants to call in, please feel free to do so. But in the meantime, we do actually have a message here. This is in response to the judge for yourself. And this is coming from Wayne. Wayne says, I think the taxi driver would have been sued by anyone that the taxi hit. But also, if he accepted the fare-paying passenger, he's liable for that. So did he put it on the meter? He could have got in trouble for that, too. Maybe he did right to abandon his car. Well, you remember there was a mugger, and it sounded like he said mother in the clip, but it was a mugger, somebody trying to rob him with a gunpoint. Meanwhile, he did write to abandon his car. I would have done the same, but maybe slightly different circumstances. Outside is always better than a small enclosed space. Sometimes, unfortunately, the law doesn't protect the driver's rights in the same way, like self-preservation. My thoughts anyway. So, Wayne, what do you think the court found? Now, the court case was the woman who was hit by the slow-moving car actually sued the driver for negligence. Now, do you think the court found for or against the woman? I think that's really what the case was about. Unfortunately, with these, they don't give a lot of details about the end of, you know, the nuances of the case, but anyway, that's an interesting thought anyway. Okay, so I'm going to move on and I'm going to go ahead and talk about... I'm going to go ahead and play Chris Reardon Has Decreed. Live from the Whiskey Glass Studios, it's...
Chris Reardon!
I love it.
And this week on Chris Reardon Has Decrees, we find a clip of Chris Reardon decreeing something, usually from one of his old shows, and we play it out for you here. And this week's Chris Reardon Decrees is as follows.
You must water your hanging baskets every day, even when it's raining.
And that was Chris Reardon Has Decreed for this week. Stay tuned, because you may hear Chris say something really weird in future shows. Maybe something a little bit like this.
Now, I'm going to have to take my trousers down and blow bubbles out of my bottom.
So that was Chris Reardon Decrees for this week. you know, it's so much fun researching this feature. I go back to the shows that are years old and find this stuff. It's fantastic. You know, when you have as many shows out there, if you're as prolific a podcaster and broadcaster as the lovely Chris Reardon, you can find some really, really interesting stuff out there. So anyway, would love to... Wayne is saying that he thinks that the court will find for the woman because the driver had abandoned his vehicle. Okay. If anybody else has any thoughts on that, please let us know. And I will go ahead and give the answer to this in about 15 minutes, roughly, if nobody else wants to play. Okay. So anyway, would like to hear what people think. Now, one of the things that there's a lot of news about jobs right now. And this is something that's been going on, of course, since the beginning of the recession. There's a lot of people out there right now who can't find jobs. And, you know, we have a couple on the station, you know, people who are unemployed for various reasons and are not able to find work. And it's, you know, even me, I mean, I was in this, I'm employed at the moment. But, you know, people who've been listening to my podcast, you know, Tom Harris USA, which is available over at TomHarrisUSA.com, will probably remember that back in, you know, this time last year, I was in the process of losing my job. And I spent, you know, basically the months of October, November, December, and about half of January unemployed. And that's kind of a good time to be unemployed here during the winter. it is a rough time for people out there. We have relatively high unemployment kind of all over the U.S. right now. I think we're the U.S. average right now is about 10%, maybe a little less than that now. And things are getting better, but they're getting better very slowly, and people are getting impatient. Wayne, feel free to call in if you like. Wayne is offering to call in. It'd be lovely to hear from somebody. It's been a while since I've actually had a call. But anyway, you know, people are talking. You know, people are unemployed at the moment. And they're realizing now that the old sort of conventional wisdom that a lot of people have been saying for years and years is that, well, anybody can get a job if they're not lazy. And now that there are so many people who have lost their jobs because of the recession and downsizing, and what it is, folks, is these companies are they're staying profitable by cutting their costs. And one of the big things that they cut is payroll. So they're staying, and so it's part of the economic recovery in a way. You know, the businesses aren't going out of business, but they're actually staying profitable by cutting their workforces. And so, in a way, it's sort of a fake recovery. But in a way, it's also a streamlining. And I know that a lot of businesses did get over employment. You know, they were employing too many people. And eventually, you have to kind of slim down. Now, one of the things that they should do is cut corporate salaries, but that's, of course, is not going to happen because the people who are firing everyone are the people who are voting themselves these huge salaries. I mean, and that's another aspect of it that's entirely different. And what do they really do that's worth the millions that they make, these corporate CEOs? You know, what do they do that's worth that kind of money? Plus, they get stock options, they get all these other perks, and the workers, you know, they're kind of, maybe they get okay pay and okay benefits, but they're really the ones who make the company run, aren't they? Without the grunts down at the bottom, then, you know, what is there? You know, you can't run a company based on just upper management. And of course, when you're talking about that, we have a call coming in. Hello on Skype.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. This is Wayne, is it?
Yep, this is Wayne from Norwich in the United Kingdom.
Have you been to the Mustard Museum?
The Mustard Museum, I must admit, no, I haven't. but there's, obviously you've got it spot on, there is the Coleman's Mustard Shop in Norwich, yep. But Yeah, that's, you got it spot on there.
Well, I've been to Norwich, and I've been to the Coleman's Mustard Museum.
Right. And did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it. Yeah, it was interesting. And I love Coleman's Mustard, by the way. I'm a big fan of Coleman's Mustard. And I was also at Norwich Castle.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a nice little town. And, of course, we have Lee Mills on United Kingdom Radio, who's also from Norwich.
That's right, yeah.
Now, do you know Lee personally?
I don't know Lee personally, but obviously he's on my Facebook, and we have had dialogue. So, it's obviously I watch and listen to many of the shows here. So, obviously, you know, I listened to your show and gave some dialogue last week as well, didn't I?
Yeah.
So, mainly I phoned in to talk about this taxi driver, because I'm quite intrigued by it.
Okay.
But also, you know, I think I said it all in the message that I sent to you. I think because he's this driver is doing something where he has a passenger in the back, I think he's liable for that passenger and also anyone that taxi vehicle hits. So I think it will go towards the people that it... it won't go towards the driver, it'll go against it, you know, go to everyone else if someone's suing him. That's how I think that will go.
Right.
But obviously, I'm open to being changed.
Well, my question with this case, of course, I know the answer, but my question with the case before I knew the answer was, what do they mean by negligent?
I think the fact that he abandoned his vehicle and it hit two people on the sidewalk, I think he is negligible for that, definitely.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think in terms of that, if I was in my own vehicle, even whether there was someone in there or not, if I'm in that vehicle and I ran into someone, I'm I'm not getting away.
Negligible.
There you go.
Well, yeah, I was kind of leaning that way myself, but yeah, he's being sued for negligence by the people who the car hit, and I can kind of, yeah, I can understand that. But he was being robbed at gunpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of wonder, you know, would he, I kind of wonder if he knew that the people were on the sidewalk. I mean, maybe didn't even know that there were people on the sidewalk.
Yeah, I mean, I could accept that he probably didn't do it deliberately.
Right.
I look at it externally, and I think of the fear of the driver, and I think of the two people that were knocked over through no fault. What you got to remember is there was no fault of their own.
Right.
And you know, at the end of the day, that the pathway is supposed to be an area of safety, as far as I'm concerned. Mm. I think... it will work in favor of the two people that got knocked over, but also the person who mugged the driver would have to pay, not the actual taxi driver.
Right, and that was my thought, is what liability does the mugger have in this situation, since they caused a dangerous situation in the first place?
Yeah, but I think because, you know, the driver was the one in control of the vehicle, he would be negligible. Mm-hmm. It sounds awful, but at the end of the day, it's the citizens that need protected who got knocked over as well as the driver. So, you know, it's a tough one.
It's hard to find fault with that reasoning, because after all, if you're hired as a taxi driver, you know, you're responsible for the safe operation of that vehicle. And I kind of, you know, I wonder if the guy lost his job as a result of that, because it doesn't really say.
Yeah. Well, it'd be one thing to find out, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But I think definitely there is negligence there. They have to protect the public as much as they have to protect the driver who has been threatened. In the same situation, I think I would abandon my vehicle, but I would obviously try as best as possible to, you know, do that safely.
Right.
But obviously, the fear factor overcame anything else. You know, just get out of my vehicle and full stop. But I don't know. It almost sounds like it's a story out of a movie. You know.
When you've got a gun sticking in your face, and you're, he obviously, because the car hit two people, but mm-hmm. they weren't hurt. So at least they weren't seriously hurt, which means that the car must have been moving very slowly.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if, he just took the car out of gear going very slowly, flung the door open and rolled out the door.
Mm-hmm.
And, would it have been better if he had just, pointed the car like right down the middle of the street? You would have hit another car or went into oncoming traffic or what? I don't really know.
Yeah. Where did you say this was again?
This happened? I don't think it actually said in there. I'd have to play the clip again. I've got
this vision of it being in somewhere like San Francisco where the vehicle's going down a hill and then bangs into someone. You know, it could have been on a hill.
Yeah.
He could have abandoned the vehicle on a hill.
That's true. Let me play the clip again. I'm going to play the clip again here.
Judge for yourself. This is the case of the abandoned cab. A mother jumped into a cab, held a gun to the driver's head, and demanded help escaping. The driver drove only a few minutes before, throwing the car out of gear and jumping out. He ran away unharmed, and the criminal was later caught. However, the cab had run onto the sidewalk and hit a woman and her two children. No one was seriously injured, but the woman sued the driver for negligence in abandoning his cab. Did the Florida District Court of Appeals rule for or against the woman?
Well, it was in Florida. Okay.
But
it didn't say when.
Plus, he went out of gear, so he obviously went in neutral. So he might have, he might have really slowed that, that far down. Who knows?
That could be.
So it's going to be an interesting one, Tom.
And we'll have the answer in just a few minutes. So do you have any thoughts on the job thing?
That was one part. I actually, what I done, Tom, was I turned off the radio when I went to call in because I didn't want that interfering with anything in the background. So I didn't hear that completely.
Okay.
What you were talking about there.
Well, what would your dream job be?
What would my dream job be? I think it would be one where I could, I think I would think more of what it would give me more than what it was entirely.
Right. So you would want a job that just it paid really well and had good benefits, but it didn't really matter what kind of work.
Yeah, I mean, work is work at the end of the day. You'd end up moaning about it no matter what you did. But I think I would think more of the benefits and the happiness factor. I mean, you could have the most busiest job in the world, but it might not make you happy. You know,
right.
Sometimes we want things in life and it doesn't necessarily make us happy, mm-hmm. but it gives us something we need.
Right.
And I think, although I might moan about my current job, at the end of the day, it gives me happiness because it gives me time to do things I enjoy.
Right.
And I think that's the factor that I look at more, not the job itself, but what I get from doing a job, So I'm kind of not going there, Tom.
Right. So what do you do now, if you mind me asking?
I'm a postal worker.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
So do you deliver mail people's homes, or do you work like more in the background?
I do different shifts, mate. Mm-hmm. So it's I do nights, I do earlies, I do day shift.
Do you deliver mail?
Changes.
Do you actually deliver mail to door to door or no?
I have done, but I haven't for a while. I do some important tasks within the office.
Right.
So that's the best way I can put that.
Well, sure. Yeah.
Okay. I've done all the jobs. I mean, I've been working since I was 16 and a half, and I'm now in my late 30s. So, I've done various jobs there.
Yeah. What was your first job?
That is my first job. That's my only job I've ever done.
You've been working for the post office for your whole life?
Yes.
Oh, right. Fantastic.
Yeah, well over 20 years now.
Uh-huh. So do they have pretty good benefits and things?
It's different to the US. I mean, obviously, you get your pay at the end of the week, and you have money put into a pension fund.
Right.
So it works like a private company pension scheme. When you think in the USA, you're thinking of medical cover and you're thinking of other things. The benefits are different because we have the NHS system over here and things like that.
And here the post office is a quasi-government agency. So it's not really, it's a private company, but it's owned by the government, basically. And it's heavily unionized, and there's a lot of that, the sort of political stuff that goes on as well.
Okay.
The joke that we have here in Chicago, at least, for the post office is this is probably not the way it is over in the UK, but the post offices here are terrible. The mail delivery is fine, you know, that actual side of it is fine. But when you go into a post office and you actually want service at the counter, you go in, and the way they must hire people for the post office is you have an exam you take, and the lowest scorers on the exam are made management.
Wow.
And the other people are that are put delivering mail. The people who have the highest IQ are the ones who are actually on the street delivering the mail, because they're so inefficient, and it's such a pain to deal with them.
Right.
But I guess it's a little different in the UK, because I can remember going, a lot of the post offices are like this little shop in the smaller towns.
Oh, I mean, it's on a bigger scale now, because they got so many products now, and they're like a virtual bank now, selling so many different things. And it's good because, a lot of them have to stay busy, and a lot of it is there's a lot of change within the postal industry, not just in the UK, but in Europe as a whole. I could go into some deep dialogue there, Tom, in personal conversation.
Right.
There's a lot of competition, and I think a lot of post offices are going to be fighting for survival in the UK in the future. But it's good that all these products are available and out there. Because it's keeping them going,
Right. Yeah. And I know that, some of the little towns that I've hiked through, because I usually go on these hiking trips when I'm in the UK. And when we hike through some of these little towns, they're, you'll ask if there's a post office, or, they'll say, well, no, not anymore. So is that very common now, that there's post offices closing in some of these smaller towns?
Yeah. I mean, what is actually happening is that there's more post offices instead of having a self-contained shop that's a post office, often now there are post offices opening up in, say, a supermarket or places like that, places where people regularly visit. And they know what they want to get in a post office. They want to get some travel insurance, some spending money, some stamps, to put some money in, to take some money out. More or less, people, when they go to a post office, they know what they want, some of the post offices now are actually moved into in areas like supermarkets, so that people can still shop, get what they need, and then come away. But you'll find that there will be less and less, sole post office shops, and that they will be in places like that.
Right.
Unless they're actually doing well as a business, then obviously they'll survive. But I think the big real underlying issue is that a lot of the postal industry is set on profit. And anything that is not making profit, they will try and balance that and try find some alternative. And that's the environment that we're in right now.
Yeah, I think it's kind of the same all over. I mean, we have now. Do you have the thing there in the UK where you can get stamps through an ATM?
We do, and actually, there's some new things on the market now where you can actually you can choose the different stamps that you want. I mean, it sounds like I'm no marketing, but I'm not.
That's all right.
There's a new thing now, I think, called Post and Go, where you can actually choose what picture stamp you want, and then that prints out the stamps that you want.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, with the picture you want, for the price you want. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's very cool. I mean, and we have this thing here where you can customize your own stamps.
Yeah, I mean, you could even have your own picture on them. I've seen them in operation. And, you know, I've always envied that. You have that kind of system in the USA that you can do that with.
I think that everybody in the UK should have Chris Reardon put on their stamps.
Well, you know what? We might be able to do that in future. the one thing, obviously, we do have to do is ensure that we keep the royal part of our operation, and obviously the Queen's head, the Queen's crown, remains on the stamp. So I think that is one thing they want to be wary about. But
well, Chris is the Queen.
Well, in a different way, Tom. In a different way.
Well, they could put a tiara.
Chris is really,
you know,
really a nice person.
Yeah, and, I've met Chris.
I wouldn't refer to him as the Queen because we already have one, and he wouldn't want. The Chris I know wouldn't want to supersede that. You know, he would have some other title.
What we should do is have, you know, a photo of the real Queen and Chris together, and have that be on all the stamps.
Well, you could have them looking at each other, couldn't you? Sitting in a lounge on sofas, you know, and Chris sitting there cross-legged looking over at the Queen and the Queen looking back, and they're having tea. I mean, I couldn't think of a better picture than that.
I think that would be absolutely fantastic. All right, so before I let you go, because we're getting towards the end of the show, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play the end of The Judge for Yourself.
Okay, well, I look forward to it. And take care, Tom. Great show.
Yeah, cheers. Okay, and I'll give Wayne here a moment to turn the stream back on before I turn on this thing. Yeah, we had a little bit of volume issue with the caller, but that's fine. I think I turned it down, and I think it was fine in the end. So if that was not true, then somebody would have to let me know. All right, so here's the last part of The Judge for Yourself. I think that Wayne has probably had time to turn his stream back on at this point. All right, so here we go.
The court ruled against the woman because the judge felt it could not be considered negligence when the driver had been trying to save himself after being held at gunpoint.
All right, so that was The Judge for Yourself. Interesting result there. And I guess the thought was that he felt that his life was in danger, he was justified in abandoning the car. And obviously the car was moving very slowly. So interesting there. And I suppose there's all sorts of unanswered questions. All these cases, there's so many nuances of the situation. And isn't that what life is? You know, life is very seldom, it's very clear-cut sort of thing. And so I think that's really interesting. Anyway, we're coming up towards the end of the program. I'm going to go ahead and play out a couple more trails because, frankly, I need a good cough. So just a moment. Here's a couple trails for you.
Whether you've had a good day or a bad day, or just has something on your mind, I'm Stacy White from Oklahoma in the United States. Now, live on United Kingdom Radio on Sunday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Come join me and talk about anything and everything. Talk, talk, and more talk, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Sundays on United Kingdom Radio.
Hi, it's Zuko. I'm wiping the slate clean. From here on in, it's a new, edgier Zuko. More politics, more opinions, more debates. Wait. Did I say that? Well, maybe just a soupçon of edge. Soupçon, you say? Look it up. What am I, your doormat? And no more kissing up to me for parcels from New York. I don't buy it. Wait, did you say I sound sexy? Well, perhaps something small. Listen Sundays at 5 p.m. UK time.
And that was a couple of our Sunday presenters. If you're around tomorrow, you can listen to Suko and Stacy. I haven't heard anything from Atticus lately. Don't know if he's still on Sunday or not. Anyway, nobody has been communicating with me as a result of that. Wayne is saying, awesome result. Yeah, I thought it was really interesting, too. And really for the same reasons that we talked about, where the idea, you know, that you abandon your car, it must have been moving very, very slowly, is all I can say. But that, yeah, interesting. And obviously, he was fleeing for his life, but you'd think if he had taken the time to, you know, actually put the parking brake on or something, then maybe the mugger would have been more willing to shoot him or get out or force him a gun. But I don't know. Anyway, Stacy White is asking, are we broadcasting? Yes, we are broadcasting, Stacy. Hello. And Stacy will be on tomorrow at, I believe it is at noon on, I'd be 6 p.m., or no, yeah, 6 p.m. UK time. Okay, Stacy is not hearing us. Well, Stacy, go to UnitedKingdomRadio.uk. And okay, so Stacy is here in the last 5 minutes of the program. Anyway, Sean Riches is following me in about 2 minutes. So be sure to stay tuned for him. He has a new format this week, and he has a competition. I believe he's giving away a cash prize this week. So exciting, exciting. And we'll have that coming up here. And this is Tom in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. I'm going to go out and I'm going to enjoy the day, maybe do a little bit of geocaching. Stay tuned for Sean, and I'm sure he'll have a lot of exciting features for you. Thanks for listening. And I'll talk to y'all soon.
Now, I'm going to have to take my trousers down and blow bubbles out of my bottom.